Live at the Dive with WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio. It's local, cross-border, and worldwide online, WDIR.net. It's Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, Live at the Dive.
The opinions and views in the following program are those of the hosts and their guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of WDIR. WDIR.net, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide.
It's that time. Wake up, Windsor. Wake up, Detroit. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, Big JD and Lippo. I'm Big JD.
And I am Lippo.
And you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning on WDIR.
.net.
Yeah. It's always good to say the .net because it's internet-only radio.
Right. You can only get this through the internet. Or right. If someone takes the show, puts it on a flash drive, and gives it to you, and then you listen to it.
Okay.
How are they going to do that? Is this show available other than on WDIR?
This show is going to be made available other than WDIR by way of BigJDAndLippo.com.
Oh, and has to be A-N-D, right?
Yes, it does. Can't use the ampersand.
Ampersand sign.
Oh, yeah, the ampersand.
Yes.
Ampersand, I like to call it.
Yeah, you don't use that word very much, do you? Ampersand.
No, but I know the guy that owns it.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know him personally, right?
Personally. Yeah.
He has the, what would you call that? Is that
the patent.
Patent. Is it a patent or a trademark?
Hey, there's a good question.
I know.
I want to say that it is a, patent, but I don't think it would be.
No.
I think it's a trademark.
He didn't come up with it.
It might not even be that. It might be a copyright.
You could, that's absolutely.
Does that mean he owns a copyright sign too?
Somebody
what if you
does.
Put two signs together? Can you own that?
That's a
ligature. And copyright?
Yeah, maybe.
I own and copyright.
Yes.
But he's got them tattooed on his hands and wears a cap with an ampersand on it and a shirt with an ampersand on it.
What's his first name?
Ian. Ian Baxter.
Oh, okay. We're going to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely no reason why not. No, he's your eye doctor, right?
No, he's not my eye doctor.
Just kidding. We were talking about Big JD's eye doctor before the show started.
And straight from the newsroom floor and the walls and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world and sometimes out of this world from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
Did you watch?
No, I didn't.
How do you know?
Is this one of those things where you ask me something? Like, remember those old days?
Back in the old days, I remember when I used to ask you a question at the beginning of the show.
Now, Big JD, did you ever...
Yes, I remember those days, clearly. Did you watch the inauguration?
Oh, of course. It was on every channel.
Was it?
No.
I have no idea.
No, I didn't get to see that, actually.
I didn't.
As much as I wanted to.
I guess it was like a star-studded kind of event. It wasn't.
Why wouldn't it be? Obama's had his hands in everybody. He's had Paul McCartney there playing for him. Remember that?
Paul McCartney, yeah, that's true. Like that, and he's still got all that same kind of clout. Who was there? It was...
John Lennon was there last night, even.
The ghost of John Lennon.
What?
Alicia Keys. Oh. Whose daughter is Alicia Keys?
Mr. Keys.
Yes, that's right.
So not anybody. Is she somebody's daughter?
I don't know.
Is that how she got there?
I think I'm thinking of Nora. I'm thinking of
Nora Jones. That's Jones. Ravi Shankar.
That's right. And Brad Paisley.
What? Oh, that's
right. The band Fun, spelt with a little F. Mark Anthony. Not to be confused with Cleopatra's husband.
Which Mark Anthony?
I was going to say. That's what I mean.
No, but is there a Mark Anthony in the Chili Peppers and a Mark Anthony that was married to...
Chili Peppers?
What's the singer's name in there?
Anthony...
Oh, Anthony something or other. Okay.
Soundgarden.
What? Oh, no.
John Legend, Jamie Foxx, and Stevie Wonder.
All the stars.
Stars were out at the inauguration. So that's the kind of...
I just call to say... Where's a Cajun when you need one?
Cajon, you're talking about, right?
Cajon, yeah. I always forget how you pronounce that. Cajun.
Hey.
there's a little Cajun for you.
Blues Cajun. So that's the stinger in between my news and your news. We got to split our news up, or
oh yeah, that's the end of the news, man.
Wow,
that's all we have time for. Because
this hour is jam packed with content.
Yeah,
people are lucky when they listen to our show. They get all kinds of
less
stuff.
News, more fun, or more fun, less news.
Well, I think news can be fun.
Yeah, and so can music, and that's what today's show is about.
We're going to talk a little bit about music. We know a thing or two about music.
Mm-hmm. Two between us, because there's two of us.
Well, so I know, one each. You know more than a thing or two about music.
A couple things.
You were classically trained?
I was, yeah.
Classic rock trained.
I was originally trained on the tuba.
You didn't play tuba, did you?
I played tuba in a school band for 2 years.
Did you really?
I did.
Tuba.
Tuba.
And that was kind of forced on you, or did you just look that
up? No, it was forced, all right.
That's the biggest instrument. I want that
there's
one.
There's no other way to have somebody play a tuba unless force it on them. You have to be forced. You have to have some force to hold the thing up. I hated it.
Is it because you were absent the day they were handing out instruments and then you came back?
No,
the next
there was
day?
Always an excuse why nobody could play the instruments that they wanted. You want to play flute? Well, you can't because it's got to go to a girl. Or you can't because your teeth are crooked. Or because you can't because we don't have anyone to play the baritone sax. Or not sax, actually would have been cool, but the baritone, the little tuba.
The little tuba.
So, yeah, no, I didn't want to play a tuba. I wanted to play, I don't know what I want. I think I wanted to play saxophone.
Yeah, most kids want to either play that or the some kind of straight instrument that you blow into.
But there was at least one of the kids there knew already how to play a saxophone. Oh. He had a saxophone.
He had his own.
He was just a kid, grade 7. He had your own saxophone.
That's great.
He had a zone. Did you ever play one of those?
A zone?
Yeah.
No, that's the name of my modem at home.
Eye doctor?
Eye doctor.
Mr. Zone?
Dr. Zone.
But yeah, music has changed a great deal in the last number of years.
Music hasn't. Music itself hasn't.
Yeah, you're right, right.
Still 12 tones. Well, Western music anyway.
Music, the music industry has changed a lot and the way that we listen to music.
Absolutely.
Those things have really changed.
Yes, they have.
We went through the progressions of, reel-to-reel probably was one of the, there were other sources of music and whatnot, but I mean, originally record albums, and then we went to cassettes, and we went to eight tracks, and then cassette tapes, and then what? CDs?
CDs, yeah.
Yeah.
But you were going to say something about reel-to-reels, like as if that was a mainstream mode.
Not a mainstream mode of music or anything, but it was one of the earlier things, that we used like to record, though,
for sure. And audiophiles like to get their music on reel to reel
because the quality is good. The tape's wider, so you can get more information on that tape than you could a cassette. You know, and even a track was okay as well. I mean, it was a bigger tape than. But then again, didn't they use four sections of that tape or something? Remember the channel wise thing?
Yeah,
so you got even less. Yeah, I guess it would be, probably about the same as a cassette then, because it was wider than a cassette tape. So you had four,
Yeah, you had stereo times four, and it was on a tape this wide. Whatever, how do you know how thick a A-track was? 3/4 inch?
Well,
inch?
But then when you had cassette tape so that you play the other way, was it reverse for the other side?
You flipped it over.
Yeah, so you only had the same amount. You only had half of that for a song.
Right.
So I think it worked out to be the same thing as the 8-track. Because the 8-track was thicker, you had four sections. Less yet, I guess, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess it was less quality even.
I have to think so. But I don't know what the impetus was to go from 8-track to cassette. I have to think it was more not
size.
A quality thing. It was the portability thing.
Yeah.
And the fact you didn't have to cut your songs up.
Right. Yeah.
You know. If you had,
unless it didn't fit at the end of the tape, then you
right.
If some you're, people if would continue, some people would not.
Yeah, it wasn't good for like rock bands of the 80s or the 70s. I mean, when that stuff came out, because there were some songs that were like 8 minutes long, and for sure that song's getting cut off.
For sure, it's getting cut off.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, kicking you in the face.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net.
Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasborowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense.
Seantoon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional Flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at Seantoon.com, Seantoon.com.
If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit OMSEntertainment.com.
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
Okay, and in talking about music, I had a chance to talk to Scott Warren from Rockery Records, which is a local recording studio here in the city, and Scott is also the drummer for the band Vultures, with a question mark at the end.
Not to be confused with them, Crooked Vultures.
Right. It was great to talk to him about his studio, you know, his career thus far in music.
How old is he?
It's pretty cool. He's in his 30s.
Okay, very good. Let's give a listen.
Here it is on You Talking to Me.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Involved in the Windsor music scene for many years, eventually opening his own recording studio called Rockery Records. I'm joined today by Scott Warren of the band Vultures. We'll find out more about Scott's music history, the Rockery Records story, and why the question mark. Please welcome this week's guest, drummer for Vultures, Scott Warren. Hey, Scott.
Big JD.
I want to talk about what got you interested in music and when you started playing. What instrument, perhaps, if it wasn't actually drums in the beginning? Did you start out as a drummer?
There was a handful of failed attempts at actually starting to be a musician throughout my life. The first thing I actually dove into was, some of my earliest memories were singing on my way to school or whatever it was, on a swing set somewhere, because that's where most good singing happens, right? When you're 4 or 5 years old, is on a swing set. Merry-go-round. Just heading to school, doing that kind of thing. First memory was certainly singing, and not just what I was hearing on the radio or albums or anything like that. It wasn't didn't come from a particularly musical household either. We were my parents just had a minor appreciation for music. My dad more so.
Were they supportive though at the time of you?
It was kind of one of those things where nobody really knew I was doing it on my own, but I had a fascination with music from day one that I can remember, as far back as I can remember. Had a record collection that was about half my height by the time I was five.
So what were you listening to at five? So what were you listening to though back then? What was your influence?
Outside of Michael Jackson, and all the way back to Off the Wall stuff. Not so much Jackson 5, outside of Michael Jackson, who was probably my first big, huge influence just musically. He kind of cut through everything else that was on the radio, and I was a fan at that young age. Outside of that, I was going by cool album covers. I had Bat Out of Hell. I think a lot of kids do. I had Bat Out of Hell.
Probably some Molly Hatchet maybe back then, did you have?
No, my dad was into Croce and Stevie Wonder, Earth, Wind, and Fire. So not only badass covers and albums and things like that, but once you actually put those things on, it was like, what? You got horns, you got soul, you got Stevie slamming on the piano.
So you had appreciation for that stuff back then?
That was what set me off. But again, not coming from a musical family, it wasn't really directed that way. Plus, I was also pretty keen in school and also really into sports and athletics at an early age, too. So kind of missed the boat early on. Took a stab at learning keyboards, and I insisted on synthesizers and keyboards, not piano.
Right, yeah.
Didn't want to learn piano. I wanted to learn keyboards and synths. Fast forward to September of 93, and my brother asks for a drum kit for his 13th birthday or something like that. So I'm 15 or 16, and he gets the drum kit for his birthday. Within 2 months, I'm jamming with guys from my school. I just picked it up and kind of ran with it. And within, I think, 5 or 6 months after just sitting down at the drum kit for the first time, I'm playing my first battle of the bands with some of my best friends from school, and the rest is history. That was 94.
Yep.
By the time I got to stage. The first and only time I was ever nervous playing a show also was that very first show. But yeah, so 94, finally the circle was closed and I was able to be a musician. Started as a drummer in practice.
I think that circle's still open because you got a lot going on still. Who are some of the guys that you were playing with like back then? Are they still playing today?
Well, yeah, a lot of those guys, it kind of fell away from it after high school. Some of them did finish their post-secondary. Others did the family stuff. Others were just running around trying to find, you know, a life of some kind, whether it was here, whether it was Toronto, whether it was BC. And yeah, so I mean, that original core group of guys, we lasted about 2 or 3 years. And then I went on and did project all through until today. Mm-hmm. Still doing the same kind of vibe, but still in touch. Still some of the best memories. Have all that stuff on cassette.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, cool. So I'm able to...
On cassette. You haven't transferred that yet?
Oh, God. There's hours. Like, hours and hours.
Some of your music history, was that captured at all on the rock wall? Tom Lusher's rock wall?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I may or may not have actually been there when Tom first tabled the idea of it. I'm pretty sure I was either in on those early conversations, or I was one of the first people that he came to, him knowing he knows a lot of my history as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Tenure, if nothing else. Right. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, let's start this thing branching out. And yeah. And I remember the first iterations of it and when it finally went to the wall. And, yeah. So, I mean, I've got all kinds of sinewy strands on that mm-hmm. great big huge installation, which has now been boiled down to a pretty sweet little poster sized thing, high res poster that they managed to get some photos done and then stitched them all together, and it looks great. I have one.
Sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. In talking about, you know, recording music, has the recording studio and recording artists and doing what you do in the music business changed the way that you look at, listen to, or perceive other instruments and that sort of thing? Or
Not the perception of other instruments, but definitely... I think the thing that it's had the biggest effect on, obviously outside of the actual art of recording, mm-hmm. has been the way that I actually perform in terms of how I play for the mics and how I actually perform in the studio, whether I'm playing drums or guitar or bass or I'm singing or whatever I'm doing. And also those lessons I've been able to translate to other musicians that come in here and record, including my band.
Mm-hmm. And that was my next question, actually. How's it performing? But thank you for answering that ahead of time. Let's talk about Vultures. When did that group start, and what type of music are you guys doing? And
well, Vultures used to Vultures used to be with an exclamation point. That was actually how we started the band. This was back in 2006, I think, or 7. The idea started brewing. We were coming to the end of the band that the first band that I fronted, which was called Lone Locust, and we were coming to the end of that, and we wanted to get something off the ground to transition out of that, because we just, all of us love playing, all of us being, you know, me and my best friends and at the time my counterpart, my female counterpart. Mm-hmm. And so we brainstormed for a little while, both musically and nomenclaturally, and came up with Vultures with the exclamation point, which we thought was super clever at the time. And that was about 5 minutes before everybody and their brother had some kind of punctuation after their band name.
Right.
So we were at the front end of that. And then a couple years into Vultures, we had a change in lineups, a change in philosophy, a change in just the band itself on several levels, even personally. A lot of us were going through some personal changes in terms of family stuff, in terms of geographical location, in terms of what we wanted out of music, mm-hmm. and all that. And so we marked that occasion really by changing the exclamation point to a question mark.
Cool.
That remains to be seen. It may be cool, it may not be cool, but
you don't often see it, so I mean,
no, for sure. Yeah, for sure. And you know what, if you really want to get deep about it, question mark, you know, there was a lot of questioning going on at the time. There was a lot of upheaval, there was a lot of change, there was a lot of unknown. So it was apropos then, as it is now, to slap the question mark on there and kind of let it linger.
But there's no, it's not necessary to say vultures? Or do you get that?
Yeah, we get that. We get that a lot. It's a talking point. It's almost an icebreaker now. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, how do I say your name? If it's, you know, if somebody's announcing the band at a show, or if we're doing something for radio, or, you know, what do we, do I just say vultures? Is it just straight vultures?
How do you want me to announce you guys?
Exactly. Put your own flair on it. You know, if you want to go with the vultures, it's kind of...
It's the whole thing. Like, it's like a mood ring. You can say it many different ways.
Yeah, it's a signature. Really is. Like, if the person that's interviewing is going to say vultures, it's just so out of context, it's kind of fun.
So what do you do if it's a question? You got to kind of do that twice. Vultures? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that. No, the that's old cool. Double Rays.
Lone Locust.
That one was an inside joke. Okay. That was the band that immediately preceded Vultures. That was a lot of fun. Played with the Fry Brothers, the notorious Fry Brothers, Brian and Jamie from currently Graham Maris. Originally back in the day, they were more known for being an Apostrophe / Royal Dose.
Scott Warren, owner of Rockery Records and drummer for local Windsor band Vultures, is here today. Scott, let's talk about your studio and recording. So what are you primarily doing now? You're doing some other things with Rockery. You're doing some master. You're getting some work from elsewhere.
Yeah, now that things have settled down with Vultures as a band, all four of us as individuals and having our own families and lives and things like that, I've been doing a lot more mastering, mixing and mastering jobs. Mm-hmm. One project that I'm really proud of that just came out that I will mention, Supermansion, is the new Supermansion CD. Supermansion 2, and that involves guys from bands like Jet Trio, Graham Maris, Meg Farrington, Graham Maris, Dave Creed, Graham Maris, Dave Hool is the big principal behind it, Nick Belulli, who back in the day was in Porcelain Mary, just did the Saints Christmas CD, mm-hmm. with Burroughs and Jody Raffoul.
Yep.
Nick was part of the brain trust behind that album as well. You know, my singer Anderson from Vultures was heavily involved in the tracking, the recording. Jeff from Jet Trio, this huge project came to me, and I was able to help Dave get it mixed and mastered out of the Rockery here, and that was just released at the end of December with the Jet Trio show, and there's talk of getting that big huge all star band together and doing a Supermansion show. So that's mixing mastering projects are something that are coming hot and heavy right now, which is really nice because it frees me up to continue to do Vulture stuff uninterrupted, or This Is War uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. I've got a band, a working band out of Phoenix that's going to be sending me a 16 or a 12 song soon. So, like, you know what I mean? These are the things that just come in through connections that I've made throughout the years. So I'm not actively out. I don't need it to be actively out running around looking for things to do. There's always way too much to do, which is great.
Very cool. Thanks for being on the show, Scott.
Big JD, it was my pleasure.
We all know there's a lot of great talent in this city. Vultures is no exception, and neither is their drummer, owner of Rockery Records, Scott Warren. You'll find Rockery on Facebook, as well as Vultures, or visit vulturesband.com. And be sure to keep an eye out there or from psychomusic.ca for the soon-to-be-released Psycho video for the song My Intentions Were Good, which was recorded at Rockery Records and has Scott Warren behind the kit in both the song and the video. You talking to me with Big JD. Thanks for listening.
This is Jody Raffoul, and you're listening to WDIR, Windsor, Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive, the local Dive, visit WDIR.net. Let's get it straight.
You're not fooling me. Okay, here we are. We're back. Big JD and Loop in the Morning on WDIR.
Right. We're talking about the 8-track tapes and how they used to cut songs off.
Yeah, right. And we established that the cassettes, too, you would cut a song off at the end. Now, would you...
No, you wouldn't.
You could.
What do you mean?
If you filled it up with like a mix tape kind of thing and you happen to cut the song off.
Oh, yeah, if you made your own cassettes.
But when they came out with the reverse, what was it called? When it would just auto-reverse. That's what it was, auto-reverse.
Auto-reverse,
and it would just switch to the other side so you could actually just cut the song and then let it continue on the other side, which I would think suck. I wouldn't do it. I would just like erase that song that did that and start it on the other side.
But, positively, yes.
But you could do that and auto-reverse and then it, you know what I mean? So people would just leave it. Wouldn't matter.
Did you make
that 8-track?
You had a cassette recorder yourself? Stereo cassette recorder?
Everything.
Everything, yeah.
My dad worked at McKay's TV. We had everything, always.
Top of the line.
Yeah. Sony, Marantz, Pioneer.
Pioneer.
Always good stuff we had.
Awesome.
They always sold good stuff, yeah.
And so you had a decent turntable before that then?
Turntables as well, yeah. All the same stuff.
Did your dad have a decent set of vinyl? No. Okay.
Yeah, we had some pretty cool stuff. We had original Elvis albums.
Elvis
and
albums,
Monkeys,
sure.
And you know, things like that.
Right.
And my mom had some.
So your dad wasn't a music aficionado such as yourself?
To a degree. I mean, we always had a guitar and he played all the time. You know what I mean? And we had always had stereos and you know what I mean?
Sure.
That kind of stuff.
What did he play?
Electronics.
What kind of tunes did he play?
All I really remember, Reuben James.
Okay.
You know that? By
American Idol. Oh, that's Ruben Studdard.
Yeah. He did?
Yes, he did.
No, I want to say maybe Glenn Campbell, Rhinestone Cowboy. Ruben James, I think, was Kenny...
Wayne Shepherd?
No. Kenny Loggins? No.
Kenny Lozon?
The guy that came to Windsor not that long ago, I think. Played the casino. Kenny. You gotta know when to fold them.
Kenny Rogers?
Yeah. So I think it was him. Anyway... and getting back to music and how it changed over time, we now primarily get our music by downloading music.
Yes, that's the way the kids do it. Actually, I don't even know if
the kids do it from Pirate Bay.
Well,
you didn't hear from us.
No, but Pirate Bay, I think, is done, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. What is Pirate Bay?
Well, it's a company that's been around forever and ever, and they've been moving all over the place. But I think a lot of kids listen to their music on their device by going to YouTube. From what I understand, YouTube is one of the top ways that kids listen to music. They'll go on their pad or their phone or their iPod Touch, and they'll just fire up YouTube, and that's how they listen to their music.
Right.
So they'll plug an auxiliary cable in and send it to some device that pumps music out.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Obviously, the quality is low. The audio is, you know. It's primarily supposed
to be YouTube's video.
Exactly.
So they're getting it from a video source rather than even, music.
Whereas I think people who have the money to actually spend on getting music, I think you're right. They're either buying CDs. People are still buying CDs, amazingly. Or they are downloading from either Amazon or Apple or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where they're getting their music. And how does this affect artists? We don't have There are no huge...
Well, for one thing, it's cheaper to download a song than it is like... I mean, you can buy an individual song, so all their music's not getting heard, nor are they selling the whole CD now because of the fact that you can just buy the hit or whatever,
a
couple songs from it.
Yeah.
So it sucks in that respect. And then also buying the whole thing online download is generally cheaper than buying a CD anyway.
Yes, it is.
So obviously they're not making as much from the digital download unless they... sell a whole,
right? So you can make more money being like a YouTube hit, like a PSY there, the Korean dude with the Gangnam Style, than you could be just being a regular indie artist.
Well, sure, if people are going to buy your stuff.
This is Freewheeling from Psycho. You're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. Broadcasting live at the Dive, the local Dive, located in the Kenny Plaza at 13169 Tecumseh Road East in Tecumseh.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit four on the floor.ca. Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients. Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty. I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option. If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.
You're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
And of course, the wonderful Taylor Kramer, who does the morning show IDs for us.
Thank you, Taylor. Yeah. Where's she at now?
I don't know where Taylor is right now.
You guys don't have like a Facebook page to keep track of your graduating class?
We do. And we are all on Facebook, but I just...
You're too busy kind of for
been
that stuff.
Out of touch just because of that. Yeah, I've just been too busy, and I'm not saying I'm too busy for that stuff. I'd like to keep connected.
Yeah, keep connected to those
and
people.
And I visit everybody occasionally, hang out, you know what I mean? Einstein Brothers
for some bagels.
Yeah, because they're all American.
Right.
Everybody's American. You're American. Everybody's American.
You don't mean they're all American, like they're not like big football players.
Yeah. Taylor's not a football player.
Okay.
Now, maybe she plays football, but she's, you know.
It'd just be interesting to see how those people are doing and where they end up, where they land. I always, when I go on Facebook, I look for the graduating class when I was in St. Clair College to see if anybody is still in the industry, in the advertising.
And are they?
Some are, for sure. Yeah. And some aren't. Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
I mean, it would be fun, wouldn't it?
Funner than what I'm doing, not right this minute.
Nothing's funner than this.
No, this is the epitome of fun.
This would be nice
fun.
Full-time, too.
Sure would be, yeah. Can't wait till I can do that over in the States, because I'm American. I'm all American.
He's all American.
I'm an all American.
Look at those
radio
pecs. I feel a little peckish myself right now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Give me one, would you?
Jesus. It's not Valentine's yet.
Pretty soon.
It's not Ballantine's yet. Is it pretty soon? Yeah. February 14th.
Yes.
Wait to save it for the Valentine's show.
Save it for the Valentine's
and
show.
And then, so what about live music and people going to see live shows? I think that's kind of died down as well.
Well, especially in the city of Windsor. Some cities are still hopping and happening, like Austin, Texas, and Nashville, and Memphis. I think there's still a big live music scene as far as that goes. But I don't think kids coming up right now really understand the value of live music. They're all listening to the beats. They have, DJ Monster
and not just the beats, but listen online. Everything's online. Everything's on the computer.
I know, but there's nothing like the live music experience.
You're right. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just saying that they're getting it elsewhere, and they don't even understand live music and how awesome it is. Yeah,
I don't think they understand or appreciate the experience.
Like, yeah, it is, and that's what it is—an experience.
I went and saw Dan's other band there, the Tom Lockwood band, and shot him, and it's, there's nothing like going to, especially in a club. I love the club live atmosphere.
Yeah.
Live band just pumping it out, the bass is bouncing off the walls, and it's, there's nothing like it. And then, of course, there's the big shows too. But once the shows got into the big arenas, which you don't see a lot of those anymore, because that's another thing in the past, the big shows at the arena. The arena guys now are playing at the casino here in Windsor.
Yeah.
Whereas it takes like a really big big band.
What's going on with all the places like Joe Louis and Palace of Auburn Hills and all that? Like, what kind of bands are there? Bands playing there? I don't hear much of anything.
Not
really.
Too many.
I don't get to even hear radio much, so maybe I'm missing some of the ads. But
no,
are they playing at these places?
I don't think rock bands are. No, I think a lot
in front of thousands and thousands of people. I mean, even Ted Nugent was doing all that.
Ted Nugent, yeah, there's
you know what I mean.
Blast from the past for sure. I think country's big. Like, you can get some big country acts that can, you know, fill or come close to filling the Palace. Yeah, but it takes like a big, or like a Rush, or I think Soundgarden's playing there, if I'm not mistaken. But it's old school bands that are going to these big arenas. The new guys, they're not playing at the arenas, which I think may be a good thing, because their revenue stream is not from the record deal they signed. The money they're making is from their merchandise and the 30 cents they're making on their music.
I guess that's something nice about the concerts and the size of the venues is that in some cases the concerts pricing and tickets are maybe a little bit less, but some are still quite expensive.
Oh yeah, like Roger Waters, another blast from the past, were like 200 plus
wow.
for a ticket.
And how many would he sell to the show?
60,000.
That's all?
That's all.
That's nothing.
Hi, this is Mo Rotundi coming to you live down at WDIR.net, live from the Dive down here in Tecumseh. We're going to have a little lunch. They got great food down here, so check it out always. WDIR rocks. This is Mo Rotundi from Destroyer, the Ultimate Kiss Tribute.
Hi there, everybody. You are listening to Mike LaPlante, and this is Mike Talks Tech. One aspect of this show that I didn't get into too much in the first episode of the Mike Talks Tech show is the availability and what exactly the Mike Talks Tech show is all about and how you can get at it. This show is actually a segment within another show. There's a show called Big JD and Lippo in the Morning, and that is broadcast on WDIR.net at 10 o'clock in the morning on Wednesdays, I believe. Now, WDIR is like a groundbreaking thing that where it's a brick-and-mortar internet radio station. Lots of programming over there. And one of the shows is a morning-type talk show. And this show is like the tech segment within that show. Thing to the Big JD and Lippo show right now, you obviously know that. However, this program, Mike Talks Tech, is also available as a standalone podcast, and you can find that at miketalkstech.com. And of course, it'll be available in iTunes as a podcast. You can subscribe and get the show and listen to it anytime you want. All right, now that we got that out of the way, let's get into this week's topic. This week we're going to be talking about home automation. Now, I have a feeling that over the course of time that we will be touching on this subject often because new technologies come out in this field all the time. Something like, automotive technology, you know, it's always progressing, always innovating. And we know that we have a long way to go before we reach some kind of endpoint as far as this technology goes. Now, I don't know about you, but home automation means different things to different people, obviously. You know, when I was a kid, if you wanted to change a channel on TV, you had to get your butt up off the couch and go change the channel. Now we have buttons on a remote that allow us to do this. Even more so, we have devices like the Griffin Beacon, which allows you to use your smartphone to control all of your home entertainment devices, your TV, your PVR, your satellite or cable box. All that can be controlled using the device you have in your pocket. So that's one aspect of automating things that get done in your house. I know myself, I used to watch some science fiction type programs like Star Trek, The Jetsons. Even though The Jetsons was a cartoon, there were a lot of aspects to that show that we thought, wow, that would be cool if you could really do that kind of stuff. You know, talk to a computer to make yourself a cup of coffee and bam, there's a cup of coffee just waiting for you. I think that food preparation automation has obviously a long way to go. And I think that the restaurant industry will probably be the place where that a lot of that automation begins, and slowly that stuff will leak into the home as far as the technology goes. But yeah, the Jetsons and Star Trek and shows like that gave us a glimpse into what could possibly be. You know, we have the back. I know if you had an automatic garage door opener when I was a kid, that was a big thing. So a device that actually opened and closed your garage door. For the most part, you had to do that by hand. And the microwave oven, another device that made huge strides in food preparation. That no other device that I can think of in the kitchen has been more profound than the microwave over the last 30, 40 years, that's for sure. But that doesn't necessarily automate a process, because that's really what home automation is about. You automating a process that you normally would have to do yourself. The food has to get cooked no matter what, whether it's in a microwave or an oven or in a toaster oven or whatever. So let's talk a little bit about the history of home automation. It has been a feature of science fiction movies, like I've said, for many years, but it's only become practical in the early 20th century. And this follows the widespread introduction of electricity into the home and the rapid advancement of information technology. Early remote control devices began to emerge in the late 1800s. For example, Mr. Tesla, Nikola Tesla, patented an idea for the remote control of vessels and vehicles in 1898. We need a man like Tesla around again, for sure. The emergence of electrical home appliances began in the 1915 and 1920. The decline in domestic servants meant that households needed cheap mechanical replacements. Domestic electricity supply, however, was still not widespread, meaning that this luxury of sorts was afforded only to the more affluent households. Ideas similar to modern home automation systems originated during the World's Fairs. That's when you see a lot of new stuff, future type stuff that all took place in the World Fairs. And in the 1930s, like the fair in Chicago, the one in New York, depicted electrified and automated homes. In 1966, Mr. Jim Sutherland, an engineer working for Westinghouse, developed a home automation system called Echo 4. And this was a private project, and it never really commercialized, but the idea was out there. The concept was born. The first wired homes, quote-unquote, were built by American hobbyists during the 1980s and were limited to by the technology of the times. The term smart house was first coined by the American Association of House Builders in 1984. With the invention of the microcontroller, the cost of electronic control fell rapidly. Remote and intelligent control technologies were adopted by building service industry and appliance manufacturers all over the place, and they offered the end user easy, accessible, and or greater control of their products. During the 1990s, home automation rose to prominence. By the end of the decade, domotics, which is another term for stuff that deals with home automation, that was commonly used to describe any system in which informatics and telematics were combined to support activities in the home. Despite the interest in home automation, by the end of the 1990s, there was not widespread uptake, with such systems still considered the domain of hobbyists or of the rich. The lack of single simplified protocol and high cost of entry has put off a lot of consumers, that's for sure. All right, enough with the history of home automation, what are some of the tasks that can be performed with in home automation? Now, one of the major tasks that takes place in your home at any given time is the heating and cooling. Solutions for the heating and cooling of your home can include temperature and humidity control. And commonly found in Europe, there's also fresh air and heating and natural cooling. Home automation systems are solutions are varied and could include an internet-controlled thermostat like the Nest, which we'll talk about later on in this show or in a future show, by allowing the homeowner to control the building's heating and cooling systems remotely. It could be linked to, you know, the thermostat or opening of windows. Now, that's an expensive ordeal, I would have to think. Automating the opening and closing of windows. It'd be nice, but every window would have to be outfitted with some sort of motor. That just sounds like a high maintenance cost for sure. If, you know, if one of those motors breaks, you gotta tear your window out, or there's a lot long way to go as far as opening and closing windows and home automation, that's for sure. One of the other tasks is lighting, which I think home automation technology is really coming a long way in the lighting realm. Some of the things that lighting control systems can do is turn off all the lights at the house at a predetermined time and date, use motion detectors to automatically extinguish the lights in a room after the occupants have left, and turn on the lights if someone comes in, of course. Turn the light on or off with the use of a remote wireless device. In other words, just do it remotely. Control the brightness of the lights according to the level of ambient light available or other criteria. Change the ambient color of a room via the lights used or by using RGB LEDs. And we'll be talking about LED lighting for sure in future shows, because that's just the way things are going. Another aspect of home automation is the audio-visual home automation stuff. There's, of course, the stuff by Sonos, which allows you to play your music in any room in your house. Apple also has the same kind of technology out there with their home sharing and AirPlay technologies. There's also people who have home theaters built right into their system, but then again, we're getting into the to the higher end kind of stuff where, you know, you push play on your smartphone to start a movie, and when you do that, the lights dim and the shades go down, and, you know, you get into your movie setting as far as, you know, the mood goes. Another aspect of that, of course, is shading in terms of presence simulation and privacy and temperature control as well. You know, allowing sun to get into your house, all that can be automated. Another big aspect of home automation is security. Control and integration of security systems, also for the potential central locking of all perimeter doors and windows. With home automation, a consumer can select and watch cameras live from an internet source to their home or business. Security cameras can be controlled, allowing the user to observe activity around a house or business right from a monitor or a touch panel, smartphone, tablet. Security systems can include motion sensors that will detect any kind of unauthorized movement and notify the user through a security system or a cell phone or smartphone or, like I said, a tablet or whatever. And of course, there's intercoms. I remember when I was a kid, I would go over to our friend's house, and his dad was an electrician, and I remember they had an intercom system in their house, and I thought that was just the coolest thing. We had really crappy walkie-talkies, but these guys had a big house, and they also had an intercom system, which is I thought was pretty amazing. Some other systems that can be that can take advantage of home automation: your coffee maker, your tea maker, a garage door, plant watering, pool pumps and heaters, hot tubs and spas, pet feeding and watering, and as well as your sump pump. All right, I think that's going to be all the time we have for today. I just wanted to get into the very basics of home automation so that when we actually get into any specific home automation topic that we talk about, you have a little background here so I can refer you back to this episode if listeners haven't already, you know, taken advantage of it. And I'll also try to put some links on the website which you're going to be able to find at miketalkstech.com. All right, people, thanks a lot for downloading and listening to the show. We'll talk to you again next week.
You're listening to WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide.
Result Makers is an elite recruiting and consulting team connecting professionals to the top-performing businesses. Located in Troy, Michigan, call 248-251-0143 or visit resultmakers.net. That's resultmakers.net.
Scentsy is your safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. Call independent Scentsy director Kathy Kasporowitz at 519-733-6199 or check out the Scentsy banner ad at WDIR.net for Kathy's website. Wickless scented candles. Scentsy makes perfect sense.
Shantoon.com is ready to take on your next 2D animation project. Sean Watkins is a professional flash animator and graphic artist. Check out his work online at Shantoon.com, Shontoon.com.
If you're in need of professional video and film production or audio production, check out OMS Entertainment. Corporate, commercial, training, broadcast, podcast, real estate, or wedding. Located in Windsor, Ontario, visit OMSEntertainment.com.
WDIR, Windsor Detroit Internet Radio, local, cross-border, and worldwide. And now, live at the Dive. That's right, the local dive in Tecumseh. WDIR, broadcasting live at the Dive. Check out WDIR.net.
Okay, what are we talking about on the show today?
Music!
And that's pretty fitting for us.
Because?
Because we're music men. We are music men.
I can make some music for sure.
Oh yeah, right now?
I mean, make music. That's a good question. Can I make music? I can...
Sure you can. You can hum, you can tap, dance.
I could do all those things. Or I could just reach behind and grab a Les Paul and start playing one.
You could, yeah. Yeah, it's within arm's reach.
A really long arm.
Not to be confused with harm's way.
And not to be confused with the long arm of the law.
Ooh. Yeah, that's something that's kind of involved with music.
The long arm of the law?
Yeah.
How's that?
Well, because sex, drugs, and rock and roll is all related. And when you mesh sex, drugs, and rock and roll together, the law is always going to be involved somehow.
And I think that the generation that's coming up now... You know,
it's not the same now. It's not the same. Not the same experience.
It's all acceptable. Like, oh, look at those guys over there smoking a doobie or having a drink in the parking lot before they go into the show. And it's just like...
Yeah, it's all become like commonplace now.
It's very commonplace. Yeah. Well, it was commonplace then too, but it was just like, how accepted is it? You know what I mean? And
yeah, it's just all been going on for so long now.
Right, exactly.
When's something new going to happen, Lippo?
Well...
What are we going to see? What's the trend?
What's the trend in music?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
What's the trend in music?
Where's music going to be going?
In music culture. What's going to happen in music culture?
That's another really good question. I don't know. Like, you know, I try to keep my ear to the ground and try to stay on top of what's happening. And you know,
is there new music at all lately that you know of?
New music?
Yeah. Is there something new? Like a new genre of music or anything? Are we going to ever see a new genre of music? Can there be?
Well, I think... How many genres of music do you think there were in 1950? Well, there wasn't. This is the beginning of rock and roll.
There was rock and roll.
So there was rock and roll, you know, and then there was jazz.
It must have been classical.
And classical. Yeah. And, you know, so there was. It was very limited. Now everything is just kind of melded in. Rap was a new genre of music. Country was always there.
Right, yeah, rap.
Electronic music is another...
Hip-hop and that kind of stuff. And,
yeah, that's
and
the thing.
House music.
Hip-hop is a sub-genre, I think. You know, it's a mix of... electronic and rap,
yeah,
like
yeah.
You know, from so that's all music is now becoming, is taking different genres and blending them. You know, you got the rap guy who does klezmer music in the background, and you got the jazz guy who incorporates you know, old country styles, and you know, so they're just, it's the blending.
There's a lot of crossover,
yeah,
stuff that happens, but and I guess you could say that's new when somebody does kind of combine, like when there came out the rock rap stuff, you know what I mean, or somebody like you know, Kid Rockish sort of,
right,
a rock rap kind of crossover thing, or
exactly, yeah,
rock and metal, I guess you could say, and punk and rock and all those things. But I wonder if we're going to see anything brand new.
I don't
something
think
new.
So. I don't
new
think
instruments,
so. No,
all new.
I think it's actually. More and more you listen to music and say, that sounds a little bit like this guy and this guy and this guy. You know what I mean? It's always...
new scale.
That's what I'm saying. You need a new scale. You need
maybe
some other...
Maybe we should make something all brand new. Well, can we do that? You and I?
Well, I don't know what the, like, Eastern music, like Japanese music and Hindu music, and, you know, they got the sitars and the...
Well, that's something that people could introduce themselves to, new music that they'd never have heard before.
Yeah, so...
Which could be interesting.
The microtone stuff and everything. So I really think that...
Is that a band?
Microtones?
Yeah.
That's a great name
it's
for
sweet,
a band.
Man. It's awesome.
I'm trademarking that.
Yeah, there you go. You and Ampersand.
Mr. Ampersand's got the Ampersand.
What is it again? Microtones?
Microtones, yeah.
Yeah. The Michael Tones.
The Michael Tones.
I love it, man. Cajuns all over the place.
Cajuns. Cajon. Look between your legs and say, that guy's got some cojones.
We're not going there.
I'm not going there, that's for sure.
you are feeling a little peckish.
Hey, this is Jeff Burrows from the Tea Party and Crash Karma. You're listening to WDIR, melting your face as you listen to amazing radio.
And now it's time for Quotes and Quips.
This week's quote or quip is from Berthold Auerbach.
Auerbach.
Oh, it's both of ours?
Auerbach.
Is that Berthold or Berthold?
Yeah, I think it's Berthold.
Berthold Auerbach.
Very good.
German? Austrian?
Well, one of those two, yes.
Okay. Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life. Music washes away from the soul the dust of everyday life. Nice.
Absolutely. I that is such a great saying, because you can be in the crappiest mood, a tired mood, whatever. I know when I go to work or something and I come home, you know, and I'm driving and you start worrying about, you know, crap, life, and whatever. You get home and you just blast out some tune that, you know.
And it takes everything away.
And you're transformed. You're transported, I should say, to some other place. Or like Berthold says, it washes away the dust. So that stuff that you build up every day, you know, worrying about paying your bills, your relationships, and all that kind of stuff. That just gets washed away when you put on like a Ted Nugent song or a Led Zeppelin song or a Wicked Angel song or something.
It's like music is the second best medicine, you could say.
Compared to laughter, you're saying.
Right, yeah. I don't think anything could be laughter as far as kind of curing what ails you.
Right, because laughter is an interactive type thing. You're interacting with either someone tells you a joke or, you know, you see something that's hilarious, you know, that also can do the exact same thing. It puts you in a mind frame that you weren't in just a moment before you were laughing.
Right.
So, yeah, you're right. Absolutely. It's something that you interact with. You have some kind of action on your part that helps you get rid of whatever stuff you have on your shoulders or in your head.
Yeah, man, that's important to I think to have music in some way or another. Some of us are lucky and we get to actually play music and create music, right?
Sure.
I mean, that's a whole other experience, I think.
It's another experience altogether, yeah.
I think that's something that anybody should experience as well. Like to write a song or work with somebody that is a musician, maybe to do that. It's quite an experience. It would be for somebody that never did that before.
A creative thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Creative, a collaboration, write a song, record a song, do something, even if you're not a musician. I mean, you could be shown something basic to put, you know, some of yourself into whatever it is that you created.
Absolutely.
That would be pretty neat. That's pretty interesting. I remember they used to have that thing in Windsor where you could go downtown and sit in a booth and sing like karaoke to a thing.
Sure.
And they give you the song after.
Yep. Yeah.
That kind of stuff. That's a pretty neat experience.
Sure is.
So anyway, we're out of time for today.
Thanks a lot for listening, everybody.
And we will see you next week on Big JD and Lippo in the morning here on WDIR.
We hope you have a great day and be sure to join us here next week, same time, same place, for Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
Four on the Floor is a local Windsor, Ontario music documentary film. The basis of the film is music as a universal language, whereby the local Windsor music scene is showcased through the past decades. If you would like to submit live video footage or music for inclusion in the film, visit 4, the number 4, on the floor.ca. Are you looking for a new dentist? Dr. Letty is always accepting new patients. Call her at 519-948-0101 or stop in at 2825 Lauzon Parkway. Do what you always wanted to do. Smile with confidence. Call Dr. Letty. I Do Wedding Videography, making wedding videography affordable for all couples. Visit idoweddingvideography.ca. No wedding video of your special day? That's simply not an option. If you're not in the shape that you want to be in, you need to call Life and Body. Call President Reno Perlin of Life and Body. Reno's a certified personal fitness trainer. Whether you want to lose weight or gain weight, call 519-250-LIFE. Life and Body. What's your life and body worth?
Local, cross-border, and worldwide, and now live at the Local Dive. It's the home of Dive Radio, and it's WDIR, Windsor, Detroit Internet Radio, online at WDIR.net.